Who was Martinus? Martinus lived in the country of the great storyteller, Hans Christian Andersen. H.C. Andersen had the ability to make a fairy tale out of reality. One might say the opposite about Martinus. He made the fairy tale into reality. He transformed the eternal essence of the religions, the message of limitless love, into spiritual science. Martinus was born in 1890 in Sindal, North Jutland, Denmark, where he grew up with his foster parents on a small farm. He received no education apart from elementary schooling. His wish to become a school teacher could not be fulfilled because of poor economic circumstances. Instead, he became a farmhand, a dairy worker, a steward, a night watchman, a postman and an office clerk in Copenhagen. The following are Martinus's own words from the manuscript to the book, Intellectualize Christianity. In my 31st year, one experienced a spiritual process that led me to a cosmic mission. It was an evening in March 1921, and I was sitting in complete darkness in my room at Nora Bros Rundle in Copenhagen with my attention concentrated on God. It was while I was concentrating on God in this total darkness that I experienced, in an awake day conscious cosmic vision, my divine calling, which was totally incomprehensible to me at that time. This calling was to use intuition to explain and manifest as cosmic science the much that Jesus could have told his disciples, but which neither they nor the official authorities of the time were evolved enough to understand. The vision of Christ that I experienced was not a dream or hallucination, but a fully awake, day-conscious, cosmic experience. And it contained a distinct declaration of a mission that I was to carry out. The very next morning, I felt that I had to meditate once again. After having made myself comfortable in my wicker chair, which I now found to be charged with a form of powerful spiritual energy, I tied a towel over my eyes and found myself thus in complete darkness, but in an absolutely awake, day-conscious state. At once it was as if I saw into a semi-darkened sky over which a dark shadow was moving, leaving the sky brighter. This shadow passed over the sky several times, each time the sky becoming ever brighter until it was a blinding ocean of light, the color of purest gold, brighter than any other light in existence. It took the form of thousands of vibrating, vertical golden threads that totally filled the space. I found myself alone in the midst of this divine, living expanse of golden light, but without myself having any visible appearance whatsoever. I had no organism, just as all created things around me, my room, my furniture, indeed, the entire material world, had completely disappeared or were beyond the reach of my senses. Despite the fact that the blinding golden light, with its vibrating radiant threads of gold, had absorbed into itself everything that is otherwise accessible to the senses or the experience of life, I could nevertheless through this dazzling golden light experience in a day-conscious way that I had a living existence beyond the physical world, beyond everything that would normally appear to be created phenomena. I was outside time and space. I was one with infinity and eternity. I was in the element of my immortal eye, the immortal eye that together with the immortal eyes of all living beings in existence is one with the eye or eternal origin of the universe. I was one with what had been sought and worshipped, both consciously and unconsciously, by all the world's cultures, religions, races and peoples since time immemorial, the eternal, almighty, all-wise and all-loving Godhead. In the coming years, after his from nature, spiritual initiation, he began writing, trying to get the views into understandable views or ideas, of those eternal visions. The main thread in the cosmology of Martinus, is understanding, sympathy, and of that, love. For all living beings, and universal defense of everyone and everything. This introduction to the work of Martinus has not been written by the author himself, but is some of his own explanations of the 44 cosmic symbols can be found in book The Eternal World Picture, volumes 1-4. All living beings are immortal. The living being 1, symbol number 6 behind our physical organism is to be found the invisible consciousness, that is to say, our thoughts, feelings and conceptions. The consciousness is regulated by wishes, desire and will. Behind these is to be found life itself, our eternal infinite, I, the creator inside. The eternal living part of us is not material. It is not composed of smaller parts, as is all that is created and transitory. It is indivisible, unlimited and eternal. The white triangle at the top symbolizes the source of the created, our innermost creator. The creative ability. The eternal ability of the eye to make visible its unlimited nature in time and space is symbolized by the violet area in the middle. The created. The lowest part with the vertical colored fields symbolizes our temporal tools for experiencing, that is to say, our organism and consciousness, which we develop from life to life. The created is by nature primarily of a spiritual. The physical body is just a temporary tool for the experiencing of life in the material world. We live thus into worlds, but are at the moment only conscious in one, the physical world. When we sleep, we experience primarily on the spiritual plan, when we are awake primarily on the physical plan. The upper parts of the symbol indicate in the books the superconsciousness and the lower part the subconsciousness, which consists of day and night consciousness. The universe is an eternal, infinite living being. The triune principle, symbols knows. 8, 9 and 10 life is formed as a universal, eternal principle which is the same everywhere. God and the eternal children of God share the same basic analysis, an eternal triune principle. When we know ourselves, we experience ourselves as one with the total eternal and infinite living universe, that is to say, God. The circle form symbolizes that God and the sons of God are eternally united. The white circle symbolizes this I, our eternal innermost essence and fixed point. It is the originator of all creation and change in the universe. God is to be found in everything and reveals himself through everything. The eternal I is symbolized here with a circle. We all have the same Father. We, all without exception, live, move and have our being in God. The violet disc in the same way as the holes in a spherical shaped lampshade spread one and the same light in many rays, the mother energy, violet, appears to divide up the one, eternal and infinite, into the many, time and space. The colored circle symbolizes the eternally created, and eternally changing temporal in life. Here a consciousness and the material world. The three eternal principles, the creator, the creative ability and the created form an indivisible principle, as is seen in the next symbol. With the eternal aspect combined with the temporal aspect we can begin to see the divine plan of creation. The divine world plan. The eternal world picture. The living being 2, the eternal Godhead and the eternal sons of God, dash symbol number 11. The eternal plan of creation. All living beings have, just as God, an eternal I, which survives every created thing. As we are immortal, we can take advantage of all our experiences, life after life. All experiences show themselves, in the final reckoning, to be useful and beneficial for all and everyone. The divine plan of creation unfolds itself as completely loving, logical and methodical. The basic law of eternal life. To be able to create experience requires contrast. The greatest contrasts in life within consciousness are pleasure and pain, or good and evil. To be able to experience the one, one must also experience the other. Seen from the perspective of eternity, pain and suffering are an unpleasant good. We survive, as already mentioned, red color, the animal kingdom; orange, the true human kingdom; yellow, the kingdom of wisdom; green, the divine world; blue, and the kingdom of bliss, light indigo. Here occurs life's eternal interaction between God, the white star and the radiating field, and the sons of God, the outermost circle, the plant kingdom. It is our satiation with the light and desire for contrast which leads us from the all-loving light zones to the physical world. The adaptation to life in the sphere of the killing principle begins in the plant kingdom. Here the new consciousness goes through its most primitive phase, having only the ability to faintly sense the difference between pleasant and unpleasant. The animal kingdom. Nature's effect on the plant being, over thousands of years, stimulates the creation of organs for day consciousness experience on the physical plane. Thus the plant being becomes an animal, orange. Adaptation to the killing principle can clearly be noticed in the evolution from plant to animal organism with its attack and defense organs. The animal must either overcome or flee from its enemy. Its organism constitutes food and it must therefore protect itself with all means. The instinct for self-preservation gets stimulated. The transition from animal to human being. The terrestrial human being is still partly an animal and lives therefore still to a high degree under the animal conditions of life. Might is right. Even though the humane world religions for thousands of years have stimulated human beings away from the use of the killing principle, the humane ability is still of a far younger date in evolution. The purpose of the cosmology of Martinus's eternal world picture is to guide humanity through the last stages of the transition from animal to human. We are on the point of being born into a new kingdom. Our intellect, which was developed in the fight for existence, makes it possible now to understand more and more advanced conceptions of ourselves and the world. With the harmonizing of heart and reason, the infinite cosmic horizon of consciousness gradually opens up. We have then become finished human beings in God's image, and are dwellers in the true human kingdom, yellow, where universal love is practiced. The spiritual kingdoms. From here the journey continues through the following eternal zones of love: green, blue and light indigo, where the eternal spiral cycle culminates in the contrast of light and happiness. A universal world plan. The eternal world plan applies to large as well as to small beings. The physical universe is built up with life within life, upwards and downwards into infinity. Everything fits together beautifully like the cogwheels in a clock. The universe's myriad of living beings in micro, meso and macrocosmos have all the same simple, eternal fundamental analysis. The outer differences just reflect variations over life's six principles of existence. Our macro being, the Earth, is also on the way towards cosmic consciousness, the small star figure. Its cosmic birth within the next 3,000 years forms the transition to the perfect human kingdom, the kingdom of God on the earth. Henceforth it is right and not might which settles all matters. Darkness. The symbol on the back cover is called, through the initiation of darkness, hell or Armageddon. Symbol number 19. The killing principle. The large orange arc and the sword from the left symbolize a dark action which is happening to the individual, the white triangle. Here the response is with the principle of revenge, the sword from the right, which we know as formulated in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We reap as we sow from life to life. With cosmic sight it can be seen how we ourselves create our fate from life to life. The orange rectangles, interposed with resting periods in the spiritual worlds, the yellow rectangles. The consequences of the killing principle: war, political and religious conflict, poverty, illness and distress are due to ignorance about the eternal life and the law of karma. One believes that one can sow war and reap peace. Only after we have harvested our sufferings is born an understanding of life's law of love. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you. Meat eating is also an example that human beings know not what they do. All the sufferings we cause other living beings, large as well as small, return to ourselves. The volcano symbolizes natural catastrophes, and shows that we are not wholly protected in relation to our macrobing, the earth. We ourselves constitute a macrobing in relation to our organism. If we provide it with poor conditions, we are then born in outlying areas of wilderness which are correspondingly dangerous. But even during the initiation of darkness, in the killing principle's sphere, we are surrounded by love, the radiant halo. The receptive soul can always find a guiding light which shows the way out of the darkness. Light. The symbol on the front cover is called the fully evolved human being in God's image after his likeness. Symbol number 23. The life-giving principle. This symbol illustrates the New Testament's moral principle of complete forgiveness, the goal of evolution. The two clasped hands symbolize that the loving person meets hostility, the left orange arc, with friendship, the right yellow arc, and thereby creates a light and joyful future for itself and its neighbor in this and future lives. The rectangle areas become more and more yellow colored. Every experience of suffering makes us gradually more compassionate, until we only have the heart to do the good, like the Christ being in the symbol. The cosmic life view. The lowest part, with the black background, of the previous two symbols illustrates the cosmic life view with many terrestrial lives, the law of karma and evolution from animal to human. We see that the cosmology of Martinus supports the New Testament's moral principle. The purpose of the many terrestrial lives is to teach us to love your God above all things and your neighbor as yourself. We have then become human beings in God's image after his likeness. We reap what we sow. The eternity body, symbol number 16. This is a symbol of our cosmic ray-formed eternity body always in perfect balance, the cross, unaffected by the death and mutilation of the temporarily created spiritual and physical bodies. All energy moves in law-bound cycles. Here is shown how every thought and action moves in small and large cycles back to ourselves, the triangle, the eternal now. The fate arcs of the living being, symbol number 18. In the symbol we see how the fate waves connect one life together with the following. Currently we live at the same time in the past, as well as the present and the future. Our actions today, the area in the middle under the triangle, the eye, determines the quality of our future lives, green area. Just as our consciousness and organism today are the consequence of previous thoughts and actions. But we only come to experience the unpleasantness which we still can bear to inflict on others. The principle, the forgiveness of sins, is a true reality. The physical organism is just a replaceable tool for the experience of life in the physical world. When this tool has been worn out, by natural or unnatural causes, it is no longer T4 experiencing life and is replaced through the process we call death. Death is in reality a birth onto the spiritual plane, where we are recharged with light experiences and rest, until we again incarnate. There is no death on the spiritual plane. The process of reincarnation.